Oh, it sure is time for the Tom and Nathan Show. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Tom and Nathan Show with me, Tom Ashworth, and Nathan Farrison, who's currently not here because he's on holiday, but never mind, you can bear with that. So, today, first of all, going to have a sort of just general listening on us chatting about various gaming topics. Whilst you can hear Nathan in the background stuffing his face with pizza, which is quite off-putting, but it's not too loud, so hopefully it won't get in your way. And after that, we'll have two dubstep songs, perhaps, or other songs. By the time I'm recording this, I haven't decided yet, so it'll be a nice surprise. It won't make your eardrums bleed, so don't worry. After that, we'll have Space Stories, and I'll explain a little bit about that. Space Stories is just sort of, I thought it's something I'd do this week, just say like a creepy story from 1960s space exploration, so we'll see how that goes. And unfortunately we won't be able to create our own dubstep tracks because my Mac is too slow and we've had technical issues installing Hackintosh. So we'll come to you with that next week, hopefully, but until then, let's get on with the rest of the podcast. When you don't know it.
And what?
And then upload that.
Okay.
Wait. How
you
do
can
I
upload
get...
videos as well?
Really? Oh yeah, you can, can't you? I gotta have like your iTunes account so I can upload as well.
You don't need an iTunes account.
How do I upload? RSS?
You don't, no, it's a different account. It's in Podomatic.
What? Podomatic, okay. I've got to use yours then, obviously.
That's fine.
Oh, no, it's recording. I forgot it was recording. So when I was talking then, that was genuinely me without knowing I was being recorded. Black Ops 2, yes.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good.
It's going
you seen
to
a
be...
trailer for it? Time travel.
Oh, yeah, I have.
There's time travel in it.
Wow.
One bit they're in the Western times with horses. Then they're in the future with machine guns and flying things. It's made by Treyarch, though, not Infinity Ward, so it won't be like Modern Warfare at all. Same people with World of War and Black Ops.
You mean Activision?
No, it's not about Activision, but that basically, for the old ones, like basically, for everyone, apart from Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3, Activision and Infinity Ward made it. For COD 1, 2, 3, 5, and 7, also 9, Treyarch made it with Activision.
Mm.
Which is why it's called a franchise, because there's actually two different companies making it. Which is really stupid, I know, but it is.
What games, other games do Activision make?
Oh, load. A lot. What's the logo?
Like an Activision.
Can't see it. We should read aloud some of this.
Plagiarism? There's already
no,
a podcast.
No, just say. Actually, we're going to read some of Cardology now. Not just say, like, pretend we're him. I mean, I actually say that we're going to read some of his book out. Because people like that stuff. Look at the select bits of the book. I've only read 30 pages so far, but it's brilliant.
Yeah, but there's already an audio book of Carl Pilkington reading it out.
I know, but we have to, like, say what we think of it. It is funny. He is over there. Huh. It says Carl Pilkington's accidental path to fame began in 1989 when a trip to visit his dad at a Manchester hospital inspired him to abandon his career as a printer and become a hospital radio DJ. I was filling news bulletins with strange but true stories and using the transmitter to broadcast pirate radio. Remember the pirate radio bit when he was talking about?
What's pirate radio?
Remember he was talking about in the best moments. It was like, you know, the issue's like, how many candles have you got burning?
Mm.
Like that. So that's what it is. And he...
Is that what pirate radio is?
Yeah. Doing it all by yourself. Pilkington was sacked and moved to Manchester's Piccadilly Radio.
He moved to XFM in London, where he produced and later a star of XFM, Ricky Gervais Show, forerunner of the World Breaking Podcast, ColePilking.com, and DK. I know, just. I got that wrong, but yeah. Very Happy Slap by a Jellyfish. That was his first book. I'm going to read that, but I can't get it anyway.
Happy Slap by a Jellyfish?
Yeah, that's the first one. Haven't you heard of it? It's not as famous, obviously, but. It's quite interesting, like, people can hear this right now. We're uploading this, by the way.
Are we?
Yeah, it's interesting. Not as an individual podcast, so we cut and paste it into another one.
Okay. Yeah. History of gaming.
Ollie gave that to me. Now he wants it back, but he's not having it. He did. You know,
Ollie Coombs.
Yeah, he gave it to me, and he wants it back, but he's not having it back. So I've had it for that for ages.
If you're listening, Ollie, you're not getting it back.
Well, I think he wants it back anyway. That's both the Rival and that one, both from Games Master, Total Control, and Call of Duty.
Yeah.
One good thing about Games Master, they actually like still do PC games on there.
What do you mean?
Like, they're not just console games, they do a lot of PC games as well. Although they always review games, if it's on the 360, they review it on the 360.
The day you had a brain scan.
I remember this one. On the.
Can you not hear yourself?
What?
You sound like a weirdo. Your voice has gone all funny.
I know, because I had a bubble stuck in my throat.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, when you know,
well,
the
bubble
stuck. Have you seen the Carl Pilkington Show podcast? There's only one.
No. I haven't seen it.
It starts off with, the day I had a brain scan, literally just like that. I was like, I think the brain is a weird. I'm not.
Wait,
did
you just read that?
What?
Oh, it's a sample from that.
A sample from Carlology.
Yeah.
The day I had a brain scan.
Mm.
That's all it is.
I think we're going to become famous on this podcast.
Absolutely. Day at the library. Anyway.
Absolutely.
That's all. For now, yeah, so.
We upload this after the current podcast.
Yeah.
I might have to cut some of it out.
Yeah. So, once you finish, we should definitely. It's been going for 217 seconds.
220.
Yeah. Everything is recorded.
Oh my god!
On a Mac. Yeah, what? What?
Is your mouth like that big?
No, it's not. I should finish my pizza really quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. It's a Hackintosh. It's not a Mac.
Not really a Mac, but we record it on GarageBand.
Yeah. We've each got a Mac, but
bit old.
Yeah, iMac G3. Look that up on Google.
Tommy, you know what it looks like. You have to do it yourself.
No, but the people who don't know what Mac we use, they just need to. All they need to do is just look it up on Google to have a look.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, iMac G3. G, like, oh, you're such a G. G, free. Free is 0123. G3. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not even looking at you, I'm looking at my drawers.
Oh, right. Why are you looking at your drawers?
I'm not.
Okay. That's what he's like all the time. He just comes up. Right, a couple of years ago, when I first met him, he just used to come up to me and say, he'd come up with me with some random stuff. Some random crap that he just found on the floor. Hold it up like that, like, and just say, sharpener, or something like that. Because Prada just went up to me one time, and she's like, you know Nathan?
He's not Philip.
I know he's not Philip, but he does that sometimes.
Calm
like,
down.
He does that. Though.
Are you okay?
Shut up. He comes up to you. He just, and he goes, oi, doesn't Nathan just come up to you,
hold some piece of crap up to your face and go, sharpener, or something like that. It did, though. You just, I remember the first thing was like this weird, like, sharpener rubber thing, which you went, and you could, like, pull it up. And it used to compress. You can pull it up.
Oh, that thing. I still got that in my drawer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the first thing. Oh, my God. Here it is. It's a blue and green sharpener. It pulls up and down. It's got two little eyes. It just pulls up and down.
Completely pointless. Oh, it's got a hole in it.
Yeah, it's got a hole.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, unfortunately. But that's the first thing. You just held it up like this and just went, sharpener. With a depressed, expressionless face.
Like yours.
I just went, okay. Okay. Yeah, so that's here. I'm using a KFC top as a mouse mat right now.
I'm on live by computer using my mouse mat I got from
KFC.
KFC, that's it. That's it, yeah.
The Kentucky Fried Chicken. Y'all don't know what the hell y'all doing. Yeah.
I'm on my computer and I got my KFC mouse mat. Mixing some podcasts with my friends.
Yeah, because apparently having a
America!
Apparently having a KFC mouse mat is so redneck. It is.
It is.
No. Do you reckon if...
Calm down.
What was that?
Damn it. That was a nice one. Bye-bye.
KF exclusive. KF exclusive.
We can bring it back, making real music that ain't gonna put time to waste. We can bring it back, making real music that may not be everyone's taste. We can bring it back, making real music that ain't gonna put time to waste. We can bring it back, making real music that. Gonna put a look right back at your face, 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 your face.
This is a UKF exclusive.
Okay, so this first one today is not really a creepy story or anything. It's just a story of something that a lot of us take for granted, but it started forming the media as it is today. So I'm going to be telling you like the story of Telstar. And Telstar was the very first television communication satellite. Of course, credit goes to what was it called Sputnik, which the USSR launched in the 50s, but this was a major development in actually using satellites. So Telstar, and there's actually a series of them now, and the first two Telstar satellites were experimental and nearly identical. Telstar 1 was launched on top of a Thor Delta rocket on July 10th, 1962. It successfully relayed through space the first television pictures, telephone calls, fax images, and provided the first transatlantic television feed. Telstar 2 was launched May 7th, 1963. And it belonged to AT&T, that's a mobile provider, and the original Telstar was part of a multinational agreement between AT&T, Bell Telephone Laboratories, NASA, the British General Post Office, and the French National PTT, which stands for Post, Telegraph, and Telecom Office. And they all thought, right, you know, we want to broadcast TV over the Atlantic, so they said, right, you know, they made an agreement, shared the money out, made it. So Telstar 1 was launched on July 10th, 1962, and it was on top of a Thor Delta rocket, and it relayed its first non-public television pictures, which was a flag outside Andover Earth Station, to Plemeur-Boudou in France on July 11th, 1962. And almost 2 weeks later, on July 21st, at 3 p.m. EDT time, it relayed the first publicly available live transatlantic television signal. So that was across the Atlantic. So that's something we take for granted. I mean, I think now they've got fiber optics, but then right until, you know, quite recent times, they used satellites. Before that, you had to wait till someone sent across the Atlantic, someone sent news, then they'd read it out. Now you could just get it live from the place. So that was good, and it was a team of people. It looked like a football, really. It's like a round thing with lots of satellites. Lots of what they're called, solar panels, that's the one. lots of solar panels to power it, and an antenna on the top. It wasn't actually very powerful, but it was a major development in media communication. To get a rough idea, either type in Telstar, T-E-L-S-T-A-R, into Google and then click images, or if you just want to think what it looks like now, it basically, you know, your usual black and white Pentagon football, that's based off that because it looks exactly like that pretty much. So, except the black bits are, would be solar panels. So that's Telstar for you. Next one, Vostok 1. Now our next story is Vostok 1, which you probably know, but not as Vostok 1. Now Vostok 1 was the first space flight in the Vostok program. Interesting. But it was the first human space flight in the whole of history. So it was the first time man ever went to space. And you probably know Yuri Gagarin of the USSR. That's the one that he went in. And it took Yuri Gagarin, a cosmonaut, not an astronaut as Americans call it, into space. And the flight marked the first time that a human entered outer space, as well as the orbital flight of a manned vehicle. Vostok 1 was launched by the Soviet space program and was designed by Soviet engineers guided by, like the main guy, Sergei Korolev, under the supervision of another guy, who's like his helper, Kerim Kerimov, and others. And basically, all it was just one single orbit of the Earth, and it's that's the shortest orbital manned spaceflight, because everyone else from them was like doing missions there, so they went round like several times. And it just took 108 minutes from launch to landing, which is very, very quick. And as planned, everything pretty much went to plan. Gagarin landed separately from his spacecraft, having ejected with a parachute 7 kilometers above ground. Due to the secrecy surrounding the Soviet space program at the time, many details of the spaceflight only came to light years later, and several details in the original press releases turned out to be false, which included something went badly wrong because two of the parts from it didn't separate and were just, you know, there was a bit of like elastic that didn't separate, so they were sort of, you know, just waving around, and he could have got smashed up if they hadn't separated. But luckily, it burnt through the cord, and they did. So the first thing they ever did was Sputnik 1, and that was in 1957, and that was considered the beginning of the space race, because it's the first thing that was sent up into space, and it was between the Soviet Union and the United States, because the United States weren't having that, so that, right, we're going to build something. After that, they decided to make a human spaceflight. So you could say that the USSR won the space race in a way, because they sent someone into space before the US did. Then the US put someone on the moon, which is more commonly referred to as a space race. So I'd leave that for you to decide. The crew was 27-year-old Yuri Gagarin, and he was the only one. They basically just strapped him in, sent him up, and he came down. That was it. And he was medically examined afterwards, absolutely fine. It was partly automatically controlled, because they were not sure how a human would react to weightlessness if they'd like go crazy or high or something because of it. But so in a case of emergency, you just have like an automatic backup. But Kamenin told, who was another helper guy there, told Gagarin the code for landing it, you know. Anyway, because he thought, oh, you know, it's unlikely to have huge effects. He woke up 5:30, you know, alarm clock. 5:30, up he gets on the morning of April 12th, 1961, and he had breakfast, and then he got into a spacesuit, and he was transported to the launch pad. Then at 7:10 in the morning, Gagarin entered the Vostok 1 spacecraft, and then the communication system was turned on. And then once he was in the Vostok 1 spacecraft, he was put on TV through cameras, but then he basically just had to wait in there for another 2 hours, and that was quite boring since there were like no iPhones or anything. Yeah, I doubt they would have even let him take one if there was, but never mind. So he was just there, really bored. So he just kind of went right to the mission's main Capcom, and they started chatting, and he chatted away for those couple of hours, and after a series of tests and checks, about 40 minutes after Gagarin entered the spacecraft, its hatch was closed, so he couldn't chat to them anymore. But then what happened was, it was discovered that the seal was not complete. So a technician spent nearly an hour removing all the screws and sealing the hatch again. So, but during this time, Gagarin requested some music to be played over the radio. Yep, so there was some stuff like that, some music, that was good. Korolev was very nervous in the lead up to the launch. Forgot the main guy, he experienced chest pains and took a pill to calm his heart. And was like, yeah, right, let's play some music, even though he was really, like, you know, crapping his pants at the time. He was really nervous, but Gagarin, who pretty much didn't know that, he was told that there was no way he was going to die, so he was really calm, and he had 64 BPM before the launch, so that's really calm. I mean, some people don't even have that resting heart rate. So then it was the launch, then it was the orbit, then it was re-entry and landing, which was sort of, which was 7:25 it says here, but it should have been a bit longer than that, I should imagine. And that's UT, so I don't know what that is in Russian time, but it took 180 minutes, 108 minutes, something like that. So, yeah, he broke lots of world records. He was the first guy in space, and the rocket was Vostok 1. And that's the story of Yuri Gagarin. So, we'll move on to our next track now. So, listen up.
From me, Tom Ashworth and Nathan Farajan this week. So it's goodbye from me, Tom Ashworth, and it's goodbye from Nathan Farajan. See you next week, guys.